episode 30, it now starts with threes. This is getting kind of scary.
It's a good number. It's a good number.
My name is Dave Hunt, and I'm joined by Michael Swick.
How's it going? I can't think of the time. I never can think of how long it's been. I think this is like month two of quarantine.
Yeah, my company, well, to give you more perspective, my company will have officially been closed for two consecutive months tomorrow.
Yeah, so that sounds about right, because I think my store closed like a week or two before yours did. So yeah, that works out. Still just avoiding that call, which I'm expecting to get very soon from my work, being like, all right, it's time to come back. And it's like, nope, not ready yet. Also, I'm drinking a little tiny whiskey.
All right, so we are Digital Days Gaming. We are a weekly podcast that has been around a little over 6 months. We are live on Twitch weekly, twitch.tv/digitaldaysgaming, and we are on multiple podcast services of your choosing. If you are so inclined, if you could please leave us a review on your podcast service that you use. If you can't do that, if you could leave us a review on our Facebook page, facebook.com/digitaldaysgaming, we would appreciate that. You can also join our group. But again, sharing the show is a huge way to help us. I know, like, just recently Podcast Addict was always linking to iTunes reviews, and now you can actually leave your own reviews. Like, so Palmer, friend of the show, left us a review on Podcast Addict, which is always cool. There's a bunch of reviews, so you can actually toggle between Podcast Addict and iTunes reviews on that one. And then, like, Google Play lets you leave reviews, Stitcher lets you leave reviews, Apple lets you leave reviews. So please, please, please leave reviews. We know a lot of you are behind on the show because maybe you're not in your normal routine, but we'll still be here when you come back.
We're still here.
Yeah. So you'll have a bunch of catching up to do. All of our social links are in the, or will be shown in the show notes. So please feel free to click on those. And you can also just go to digitaldaysgaming.com, which directs you to our Simplecast site. That also has all of our links there as well. So we're going to jump right into the news. And we actually have news to talk about that doesn't involve COVID-19.
No, I mean, we have one story later that might have a little bit of that.
Dick!
Yeah, it's inevitable. All right, so the first story that I have is Summer Game Fest continued, started. I don't know exactly what
the... And they announced some stupid, boring game.
Yeah, Dave hates fun. They announced that they are going to... Activision and Vicarious Visions are going to remaster or remake Tony Hawk 1 and 2. So Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 coming to PS4 September 2nd, I believe, is the release date for that.
Yep.
And this, it's funny, when the game Summer Game Fest thing was going on, they had that pre-stream thing for like a half hour. It's just like starting in half hour timer counting down, and I noticed a couple of times that, like, oh, they're playing Tony Hawk music, it's gonna be Tony Hawk, and it totally was. So this looks like an actual full remaster of the game, as opposed to last time they remade 1 and 2, which I feel like people forgot, and for good reason. In the PS3 they kind of just up-resed and remade those games or ported them over to PS3, and it was trash.
Made them shiny,
but also I think they did some other work to it that just made them feel like garbage. It was mm-hmm. a really bad experience. And then of course Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5 came out, and that was bad as well. So I'm a little hesitant to get super excited, but I can't help myself when it comes to Tony Hawk, because it's super influential on my life. I like the fourth grade, I think that's when the first game came out, so I grew up with this. It got me into skateboarding for a little bit, even though I was really shit at skateboarding, but it got me into it. A couple details that came out of this. I really like the way they did this. Vicarious Visions was actually Tony Hawk and someone from the PR for Activision sat down with Jeff Keighley, virtually, of course, and they just answered all the questions people were going to have about the game. The game will feature the original soundtrack minus a couple songs. It sounds like 5 songs couldn't make it in. Sadly, the Public Enemy song isn't gonna make it in. Public Enemy is kind of a mess right now. There will be the build a park stuff is going to be there. It's going to have online modes, online build a park, so you'll be able to share your parks. Kind of stuff that was in the Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5 game that came out, but this didn't work. Hopefully it'll work now. I mentioned earlier, Vicarious Visions is developing it, and they have a history with Tony Hawk. They actually developed Tony Hawk, I want to say 2, 3, and 4 for the Game Boy Advanced, which is a completely different version of those games, but they at least have some history with it.
And, they're a good studio.
Yeah.
Like, they're a really, really good studio. They did a lot of work on some of the Destiny stuff when Activision was linked with them. They do really good work, and they're very passionate about what they do.
Yeah, and I think they are, like, remnants of the Neversoft team. I don't know how many people are still there from the Neversoft team. But specifically, they worked on, like, the Crash Bandicoot remakes. So they have history doing this. One thing that I found was interesting, because... for me personally, when I think of Tony Hawk Pro Skater, I think of Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3. That was the game I spent the most time with. I felt like with the things they added, like the revert and different things that they did with the map, the soundtrack, that was the perfect game. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 is the important game. But it sounds like they're kind of aware of that, and Tony Hawk mentioned that because he knows people just kind of get all four games mixed up, they are actually adding moves and some of the features from 3 and 4 into this remaster of 1 and 2, which could change things pretty greatly. And I think that's a cool thing. If they're not going to port 3 and 4, at least add those moves, because as much as I love the maps in 3, I'm more in love with how that game felt. So adding mm-hmm. those moves into 1 and 2 kind of eases the pain a little bit for me.
I've, you know, contrary to popular belief on Twitter, like I've played some of these games before. I don't remember exactly which one that I played, but I do remember like breaking through windows and stuff like that, like trying to get collectible cassette tapes and mm-hmm. trying to pull off some tricks and things like that. And I do have, you know, good memories of playing this game. You know, it was of trying to figure things out and how to get, you know, certain score or, you know, X amount of tricks rallied together in a row, you know, like, because like, I remember, right, the game had a lot of just unique and challenges of like of do this 6 times in a row and complete them, you know, and that or something to that extent. It obviously had a score aspect to it, and then also just the, you know, collecting as much, I mean, and don't get me wrong, like collecting as much speed as you possibly can to get to an area that maybe you couldn't before, but then the 10 times that you fail doing it, just watching your player just bounce off of the surfaces is also some of the most fun things that you'd see, different ways that they wipe out.
Yeah, the first four games were simple in terms of like the goals. You'd have 2-3 minutes to get as many goals as possible, and you just rinse and repeat until you get enough goals to move on to the next level. But the game was always so good at like secret locations, like, oh, you'd have to hit like a couple different triggers on this specific level to open up the secret area, and almost every secret area mm-hmm. or every level had a secret area, which was always great. One thing that I find kind of hilarious is there was one point where I believe Jeff Keighley asked Tony Hawk about like, what about the other games down the line? And Tony Hawk was just like, oh, maybe we'll do that. And I could almost see the PR person being like, don't promise anything. But in a later interview with GameSpot, someone from the Vicarious Visions said an odd thing that kind of worried me, where it said there's going to be no microtransactions at launch unless players want it or there's some sort of demand for it, which just kind of worries me. But I hope what they meant by microtransactions is like a DLC pack for 3 and 4 and not like some weird microtransactions. Yeah. Though they could sell clothing and skateboards.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think cosmetically they could probably do some really cool things in that game in terms of how your player looks, especially like in 2020 where, you know, just having different, you know, different looks and different avenues. But again, I don't know how easy that is to, you know, in terms of remaking a game where you're kind of like overhauling the engine a little bit to make it work on current gen hardware, and then being able to have somebody put like pink pants on if they want to. Like, I don't know the aspect behind that.
Well, it seems like this is going to be like a from the ground up remake of the game, just because they're actually they're not using like 20, 30 year old Tony Hawk in it. They're using 52 year old Tony Hawk in this game.
Oh, okay.
They're actually going to use the current age of the player, or of the skaters, which makes me think it's like a full like overhaul of this, which means it would, it'd be easy for them to build in some sort of microtransaction at that point, whether it's there at
launch. It still is Activision.
Yes. So. Which means they'll just bring it in later. They'll get all the good love they can at the beginning and then bring it in.
Pay a dollar for your wheels to roll faster.
Yeah, they'll Modern Warfare it.
And I actually was saying that and fixing my shirt at the same time, forgetting that I had an Activision shirt on. Because I don't know what day it is, nor do I know what clothing I put on. I just put on t-shirts to go to work now.
It must be nice. I know I've been doing a thing where I just like wear the same shirt way too many times in a row.
Okay, Owen.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm excited for this. I'm hoping this opens the door. Like, it makes sense. Like, 1 and 2 were on the PS1. If they want to do another collection for 3 and 4, those are games were on PS2. Though I don't give a shit about 4. 4 wasn't a bad game. It just was forgettable. So I'm hoping we at least get 3 out of this before they maybe remake the Thug games, Tony Hawk Underground.
Yeah, I mean, timeline-wise, if this is a full rebuild of a game, like, if you go back to when the split from Bungie happened, this is probably the thing that they put VV on right away.
Yeah.
Because it's been about a year since the split happened, and Vicarious Visions was assigned to Bungie for a long time. They actually did some pretty extensive expansions, and then when the split happened, they finished working on that in about June or July of 2019. So, like, it seems like they may have had a small group. Like, we've always heard, they might have had, like, a skeleton crew working on this. And then when they finish another project, they all move on to this. And then, again, it's all going to be about sales. Like, if there's sales behind 1 and 2, if sales are really, really good of this remaster, then they probably would just try to release 3, if they're already working on it, 3 as its own standalone thing.
Mm.
And then if sales aren't necessarily maybe where they want them to be, then they might attach 3 to it to help get a huge influx of the thing while they're maybe getting ready to do a 6. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird because for a while, I think people were under the impression that Activision made the Crash Bandicoot remakes to see if, like, hey, maybe we make a new Crash, and then they didn't do that. They made a Spyro, and people were like, oh, this sold really well. Maybe they're going to make a new Spyro. Then they made a new Crash Team Racing. And I have a feeling it's more going to be like that. I think Activision is in the current situation where they're just going to remaster everything until they run out of shit to remaster.
Well, because they don't really have any major hard-hitting IPs right now other than COD. So, and you know, I guess maybe we'll find out in a couple months, but I still remember being surprised that Sekiro was attached to Activision. Like, that was a big surprise to everybody.
Yeah.
So do they have another one of those up their sleeve? Like, I guess we'll find out in a couple months, because they've got to have something. I feel like they need to have something other than Call of Duty hitting this holiday.
What?
Like, they need to have.
Well, with Sekiro, like, we already know From Software is working with Bandai Namco, so it's just like, do they have another partnership that they can have? Because they just don't have the studios that...
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is, like, artillery for Call... You either work on Call of Duty, you're artillery for Call of Duty, or you're remaking these games.
Yeah. And a lot of the studios and a lot of their stuff was in that Bungie partnership. Like, their growth came from a lot of the money that they were making from the success of Destiny 1. Yeah. You know, so the success of Destiny 2 or unsuccess of Destiny 2 aside, like, there was – that worked well for both studios, both, you know, the publisher and the studio. Like, that was profitable. Whether you liked it or didn't like it, like, it produced a lot of money for both of them.
Yeah.
Enough that Bungie was able to go independent, and enough that Activision didn't have to, like, tie him up in court forever over it.
Yeah, it's Activision may have saw, like, the chart where the arrow's going down a little bit and
figured out it was still good. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm excited for this. It's definitely got me playing Tony Hawk games. I actually, like, called my parents and was like, hey, can you go in the basement? There's a tub. It's filled with games. Can you look in that tub to see if my Tony Hawk games are in there? And then I ended up having to eBay hunt for a couple games. So I'm excited for this. I actually even pre-ordered that fucking collector's edition that I'll probably just cancel like 2 weeks out.
You got a little bit of space up there over your left shoulder to put something cool.
Yeah, I mean, no one can see it on the Twitch stream, but there's a skateboard to my left, a custom skateboard. So maybe I can fit another one there. But yeah, I'm excited for it. It looks promising. Old Tony Hawk should be fun to play as.
Yeah, and I think this is the beginning of what we're going to see. And again, I know I said half joking, half serious, but the COVID's going to be a 6 month or longer thing. And I feel like you're going to see some studios that are going to try to figure out like what can we do to still produce some kind of content. And you're going to see a lot of remastering, readjusting, updates to games. Like, I think that's where you're going to see some of this. Because starting a brand new IP requires so much brainstorming and so much, I feel like, in-the-room meetings,
Yeah. And the remasters, from what we've learned talking to people, they can have a really small team and get things up and running at a faster pace than if they were starting from scratch.
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
It's cool. Like, I'm happy. Like, if this is kind of the kind of thing that we're going to get once a week or twice a week from Summer Game Fest now until August, like, if that's the kind of quality of content that we're going to see coming out of this event, then I'm all for it.
Oh, I can't echo that enough. Like, I loved the way this was. It was like, hey, here's a 2-minute trailer, and then here's, like, 15 minutes of us talking with Tony Hawk and like, the PR and getting questions, especially Jeff Keighley. Jeff Keighley's so good at walking that line of being very PR company friendly, but also getting information out of studios. Because he knows what questions to ask, and I don't think he's afraid to ask questions. I'm sure they go over it before they do anything, but he at least doesn't waste time on too many stupid questions. So,
and he also has a good way of asking the question and giving either the PR company or the developer the opportunity, or the spokesperson for the game, he asks the questions that people want him to ask, even if they can't be answered, and he does it in a respectful way.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, let's move on to the next one. Sorry, this is kind of COVID related, but a couple weeks ago, I think maybe even last week or 2 weeks ago, EVO canceled their summer tournament that they do in Vegas every year, and announced EVO Online, which is going to be their all online EVO, which is kind of crazy. They announced that what games made the cut for this. Pretty much every game made the cut, but Ultimate or Super Smash Brothers Ultimate, that didn't make the cut, which I said previously when we brought up the news story the first time, I kind of saw that coming because Smash Brothers has notoriously shit online netcode. So it's no surprise that when it came to an all-online tournament for EVO, they had to just cut Smash Brothers, which is their biggest game last year, or one of their biggest games.
It just doesn't work unless you're in the room.
Yeah, and it's just Nintendo just doesn't give a shit about like how the online runs, and it sells crazy without them giving a shit.
Yep.
Like, they probably did the numbers at Nintendo of like, okay, we can put this much money into the online, and we'll sell maybe a couple thousand extra copies. And it just didn't work out for them.
Well, we've even seen, on top of it, we've even seen a game that was essentially built, Street Fighter V, that was essentially built for the competitive fighting community solely. Like, that game was built around what the competitive fighting community really, really wanted. And it was a really good competitive fighter. But it lost the arcade appeal of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it just only professionals are playing it. So then if you weren't that serious, I couldn't play that game with a controller, anymore, because I knew I was just going to get my ass kicked when previous games, I could at least have some fun with a controller.
Yep.
They have also announced that they're going to do an open online tournament. No details quite yet of what that means, but basically, the four games they picked are games that didn't make the cut for, like, EVO proper, but that's why they're going to do just an open online tournament. And that's Mortal Kombat 11 Aftermath, Skullgirls Second Encore, Killer Instinct, and Them Fighting Herds, which is, like, a My Little Pony fighter, I think. And basically Evo was just one weekend a year. It's now going to extend from July 4th to August 2nd, where they'll have different tournaments every weekend for 5 weekends.
Which, again, is great. Like, if you're a fighting game fan and you want to, like, I'm sure this stuff will be on YouTube. I think, didn't they just sign a big YouTube contract?
That was Activision.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it'll be on YouTube. It'll be on Twitch. It may, at this point in time, it may even be on ESPN front and center.
Yeah, usually it's just, what, ESPN 2, sometimes Street Fighter 5 would end up on ESPN proper.
Yeah.
This is going to be great just to have 5 weekends. I'm still curious how they're going to handle the tournaments. I'm assuming mm-hmm. they're already working to figure out those brackets. Just because usually how Evo works is they'll have like a 64 person bracket, you know, that's handled, like, starts on Friday, ends on Sunday. I wonder how they're going to handle that with online. Will the Street Fighter tournament happen over multiple weekends, or is it just gonna be like, hey, this weekend is Street Fighter?
I mean, if they're smart, they'll do it over multiple weekends and build hype around it.
Yeah.
And market it. But I mean, we'll have to also see. Maybe they'll just focus on each game, like, and then maybe do all the finals on one weekend. Like, I don't know.
I still think that they're gonna need to fly like the top 8 to a hotel and just have them land.
Yeah.
Because people are all over the world that compete in Evo, and doing it online is complicated. And then also, we need to see it. And a lot of these games don't have a broadcaster mode built in.
I would love to see, like, them rig some kind of hotel room up with social distancing, with, like, these, like, 100-foot Ethernet cables running between the bedrooms.
They just ask the hotel, like, can we just drill a hole? No, drill a hole. You get room, you know, 100, and then room 200. Just drill a hole straight down, run the cable. And
I found myself fascinated the other day. I watched some Madden tournament, like, it was on ESPN, and I don't really usually watch this stuff, but I was just clicking around looking for something, and it was interesting because there was some type of, I don't know all the details of it, but there was some type of salary cap system mm-hmm. in the game of Madden Ultimate Team, like, where they had, like, Gale Sayers as a running back, and they had some higher, you know, big name defenders in the game as part of, like, your Ultimate Team packs. But it allowed you to buy certain players, and one of the guys that won the game, I don't remember names or anything like that, mm-hmm. but he actually spent more of his time focusing on his defense, his offensive line, and his running back, to the point where he didn't spend really any money on a quarterback, and he had his punter in at quarterback, and he just never passed the ball, and they couldn't stop him.
Do you know what he was running at running back? Like,
Gale Sayers.
Okay.
But since he was able to not worry about getting a quarterback, and he was playing against, like, he was controlling the Tennessee Titans, which is just like an image. Like obviously there's no, you know, and he was playing against, the other guy was the Raiders, and that guy had Michael Vick, and I'm sure that Michael Vick was a significant amount of his salary cap versus mm-hmm. him. That's like, okay, well, I'm going to stop you from, I'm going to do everything I can to stop you from scoring, and I'm just going to run the ball down your throat. And I watched him get like 3 or 4, like, 30 yard runs. Like, it was crazy. So it was just fascinating, the mindset that can go into how somebody, whether it's in Evo, and we've seen it, like, what those guys can do in terms of, like, when they're literally fighting against an on-level opponent, and all they're waiting for them to do, essentially, is they're trying to hit AB up down, and they hit AB up, and they don't hit down fast enough, and there's, like, this small sliver window that they just, if that happens, they just annihilate you.
Yeah.
It's so cool to watch, but all it does is frustrate me to realize I can never play that well.
yeah, what you should get into are the compilation videos of them freaking out. Madden has a famous freak out video where the dude's like throwing a fit. That's great. Okay, so yeah, EVO Online taking place from July 4th to August 2nd. The next story I pulled up, Vincent Bella was talking about DICE LA and Respawn's future. The main things I wanted to take out from this, it was an interview with IGN. Vincent Vella, a couple months ago, it was announced that he is going to continue to run Respawn, but they also put him in charge of DICE LA, which was one of those artillery studios, but for EA. And they are working on a shooter running on the Frostbite engine. No surprise there. They mostly worked on the Battlefield games, so of course...
It's a little surprising to me that... I mean, they probably didn't give him a choice, but Vince has been notoriously trying to avoid Frostbite.
Yeah.
I feel like.
That Respawn's the only one with, like, an exception of, like, not using Frostbite.
But them having a shooter on Frostbite isn't a surprise. But I'd be curious if it's something a little bit different than their Battlefield franchise. So.
Yeah. And it makes sense to put this team on it. Because if they've just been working with Battlefield on Frostbite, why change that unless you're moving a bunch of people from Respawn over there?
Right.
And the other thing, there was a quote that there's currently nothing in development related to Titanfall, which is only interesting because last year, after Apex was announced, they promised that there would be a new Titanfall experience in 2019, either announced or released. And now there's nothing currently in development for that, which then kind of makes it appear that Titanfall has been canceled, like whether it's Titanfall 3 or an offshoot like Apex Legends technically is.
Unless they told him to put Titanfall on Frostbite.
Which then he would have murdered and killed because he doesn't want to touch it. I think that's kind of crazy because they did, you know, after Apex. I don't know if that means Apex is successful enough that they just want Respawn to focus on that, or their Star Wars game was so, you know, popular that they just told them to focus on Star Wars. But it kind of sucks because Titanfall 2, as far as I know, people kind of talk about that like it's one of the best campaigns for a first-person shooter.
Yeah, it's a top-tier shooter campaign for sure.
Yeah, which is a little disappointing that...
The multiplayer was trash, and that's where the longevity comes from, because everybody will just wait. Like, you can go buy Titanfall now for like $4.
Yeah, I think I own it like three times over.
Yeah, like Titanfall 2. I'm sorry, you can go buy Titanfall 2 like super cheap. Anytime that there's any of those like up to 75% off sales, like Titanfall 2 is always there. And I think that that's where like the problem inlays of the current state of gaming a little bit is like, yeah, you know, like unless your game like sells crazy, and has a good campaign to it. If it doesn't have any longevity to it, then you stop talking about it. Like, we're still talking about Titanfall 2 because of the top tierness of the campaign.
Yeah.
But I feel like, as an example, it's not a dig on it, but Jedi Fallen Order was great and then forgotten.
Yeah, even when they just announced like some sort of DLC the last 2 weeks or something.
Yeah, or like an update or something like that to it. Like, I keep forgetting that I haven't completed that game. And the game was great. Like, and I loved it and I enjoyed playing what I was doing. It's a me problem lately of that there's been nothing that's been then putting its hooks into me that I like want to go like, oh, I really want to go home and beat it, whether it's Horizon or Zelda or, you know, any of the things that I've been playing recently. Like, there's just nothing that gets its teeth into me that makes me want to complete a game and beat it. And it's just, everything can wait. Final Fantasy, like, I'm having these problems with all of these games lately. And I don't know if that's, you know, and I'll give my opinion on it in a little bit, the stories might not be good enough right now. Like, I don't know. Like, did Uncharted and Last of Us like spoil me, and God of War spoil me to where if something's not compelling enough, I'm just like, okay, that was fun.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I take more chances with my games, and I think that's become a little bit more fruitful for me in terms of...
But I even took a chance with Star Wars Fallen Order.
Yeah, yeah.
So, not really, because I got Origins Access. It was only like $15, so that really wasn't a chance. And maybe that's part of it, is that I just don't feel that I'm like... But I mean, I bought Final Fantasy at 100% out of my own pocket, and like, I'm just like, eh.
Yeah, I'm kind of there with you on Final Fantasy VII, though. I bought it as well, and I'm still, like, I'm 4 or 5 hours in, and I'm just like, I don't really think this is as great as people say, as controversial as that might be. But, yeah, that's it for the Vince Zampella stuff. I guess we'll... he was very coy on, like, will Respawn's next game or will DICE LA's next or first game pop up during EA Play, and he said it might. Who knows? Like, it's not his choice. Sort of thing.
Was it him or was it Respawn that was hinting at Fallen Order being a kind of a new franchise for them too? Right.
I think so. Yeah. That if successful, it would become like its own thing. I know they have a Medal of Honor VR game coming out this year. I think it's exclusive to Oculus.
Right.
So that might be what they're working on now, but I don't know what the size and scope of that would be, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess we'll have to wait for EA Play to get some sort of update. We'll probably get the update for Medal of Honor during that, but I don't know about the,
yeah, for sure.
The LA, the DICE LA shooter, just because he was just put in charge of that studio a couple months ago.
Right.
All right. Next bit that I found is Sony had a state of play dedicated to Ghost of Tsushima, and it was interesting. It was 18 minutes. It was a really well done video. It didn't even feel
gorgeous looking game.
Oh yeah. So. It didn't even feel like 18 minutes. It almost felt shorter than that, but I think it clocked in around like 15, 18 minutes. Obviously this is an audio podcast. So we're just going to talk about what we saw. Dave, as someone who hasn't really seen too much of this game outside of stuff at E3, I got to see like a behind the scenes video at E3 one year. But what did you see about it? Because the game's been kind of a mystery up until this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of getting the Days Gone treatment where we don't really know what's going on. And they actually showed, I feel like they showed a little bit more of the curtain, behind the curtain, than I was actually expecting them to show. Like, you know, and we talked about it, but like Assassin's Creed Valhalla, like they barely showed anything. And then like, here comes Sony going, all right, here you go. Here's your character. Here's how the game works. Here's how you fight. Here's another way to fight. And here's how you can make yourself look cool.
Yep.
And they just, again, like, if this is what they can do, like, and I just, again, I don't see why they're not doing this with PS5. Like, I just don't see why they're just sitting in the corner going, okay, cool. We're just going to be quiet over here. Like, I don't understand it. When the ammunition that they have for Ghost of Tsushima was, okay, here's how you do this as a samurai. And then something I didn't even realize was a thing in the game, here's how you do it as a ghost. And I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, so thus the name.
I was like, that makes a lot more sense to me now. And I'm just like, but I don't find out about that until 60 days before launch. Like, okay. But again, like in the wind, and people were comparing it to, like, I was seeing a lot of like Assassin's Creed comparisons. I was seeing some like Legend of Zelda comparisons in terms of like using the world and the environment. It's cool that there's no map and that the wind is your guide. Like that's really cool, where your player is essentially like throwing grass like ball players do to see which direction the wind's going, and that's going to tell you where you're going to go. It is a little concerning to me anytime they hide the HUD. The heads up display, because a game like that seems like it's always been my concern from when I saw it, is like, how do you fight that well? Because does it have a Bloodborne aspect to it? Does it have a Sekiro aspect to it? Or does it have a God of War fighting aspect to it? And we don't know yet.
It looks like it's a hybrid of like everything that you mentioned. And
but that's my concern with that, is like, is it going to be hold down L and hit these buttons? Like those things can be a little bit of a challenge when you're doing different things, especially when it looks like in it. And I think that they kind of shunned away from this comparison, but an infamous style of play of where you can fight clean and good and in the way of the samurai, or you can fight
like a ghost,
evil, but like bad, bad, quote unquote, and as a ghost. And I'm sure that what you do and how you do it, I'm guessing, will have impact on how the game evolves.
Yeah, for sure. The game, I love the idea that they're using the environment, the wind, keeping the UI and HUD as minimal as possible. Like with the different animals will also show you where to go to, or tell you what type of mission you're about to. Smokestacks or fires will also let you know like camps are here. I think they showed a great deal amount of like how the game is going to play. The only thing I feel like they didn't do well enough, which we might find out later, is it's an open world, but like what else are we doing? Is it a very focused open world? Is it just going to end up being like a Far Cry Assassin's Creed game where you just take a tower over or take over a camp and work from there, basically like, liberating areas?
It's still a concern to me that we don't know the gist or the plot curve of this game yet, or unless I missed it.
They've talked about it in like the previous like story trailers, but like at E3 and stuff. Like the first trailer where we saw like fighting happen, there was some story stuff. I don't recall like details of it though. But this game's kind of hitting a point where to fully enjoy the game, I'm kind of staying away from like story trailers. Like I watched this.
Yeah, no, I think staying away from story trailers is important, but at the same time, I think you kind of got to know like, is this a good versus evil? Is this a rescue? Is like, I think that there's still a genre and a direction a game is going that some people would, I would hate for somebody to purchase the game thinking it's going to be A and find out that it's not.
Yeah, I can see those concerns. But it looks like it has like all the open world tropes that you would want in terms of mm-hmm. like multiple ways to handle missions, the different play styles. And then, of course, you know, there's like cosmetics. There's going to be like different outfits, and those different outfits will have
different perks and yeah. RPG elements to them. Absolutely.
So like there's
that all looks and sounds cool.
Yeah. There's like enough of that, which is good. I still want to know what like the activities are like mm-hmm. when they first showed that map, there was only a couple things highlighted on that map. I want to know day one, are there going to be a bunch of question marks, you know, like Witcher or a bunch of collectibles like Infamous mm-hmm. and see how that all plays out. One thing I was happy about is the game will feature both English and Japanese voice tracks. This was something I was really hoping would happen, is because when they first showed the game at E3 last year, 2 years ago, they only showed it in Japanese, and the game sounded great. Like, it gave mm-hmm. the game, like, an authentic feel to it. And I actually interviewed one of the developers back when we were at PS Nation, and I asked about, like, will the Japanese voice tracks make it to, you know, the Western release? And at the time, they were like, we hope so. You know, like it was like a call of Sony if they want to, you know, put that, make it available in the West. And also they were hoping to make it the default language. It sounds like they lost that battle. But at least now when you start the game, it will apparently ask you, like they mentioned multiple times in terms of like for other features too, is like at the beginning of the game, it'll ask you if you want to be English or Japanese voice tracks, which mm-hmm. I'm glad you can make that decision. And then also like,
do you know if... Go ahead.
No. What are you going to say?
Can you do the Japanese voice track with the English subtitles?
Yeah, I believe you can.
Okay.
Yeah, that I believe that was like the only way it would work ideally, unless you turn subtitles off.
Okay.
And then also you can play the game in black and white with film grain to give it like that old samurai movie feel, which I think would be cool
for photo mode, but I don't think I'd want to play the whole game like that.
I would be curious to see how that would look in play. It's going to come down to like how well the combat feels, if like it would be cool enough, though it is kind of the game's gorgeous, and just put it in black and white
that'll be like a third playthrough for your platinum, having to complete the whole game in black and white.
what I thought was odd though, they spent a lot of time on photo mode on this uh-huh. and I feel like that wasn't that important of a thing. It's cool, they're doing a lot of cool things. You can pick music tracks if you want to make little videos.
I don't feel like sharing video game photos is that big of a deal.
Well, not only that, like I appreciate, like I love the community that spawned out of Spider-Man with that photo mode, but it just seems like a weird thing. Like to me, photo mode being featured in a like first time extended look at a game is kind of weird. Photo mode just seems like that sort of announcement you just do in a blog post.
Yeah, but I also feel like it's expected out of any PlayStation Studio game.
Yeah, for sure.
Like it's just expected now. Like you should have it. Like, oh, they don't? Like what?
Yeah, or oh, it's coming post launch. That's weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was that. If you haven't seen it, it's really worth taking a look at.
Definitely worth your time.
It comes out in July, so I'm excited for that. Also, you can pet the fox. There was a fox, and you can pet it. It's fantastic. all right, final story. Epic. As a part of Summer Game Fest, they have put out a tech demo called Lumen and the Land of Nanite. This is about a 9-minute tech demo video that's online of the Unreal Engine 5 running on the PS5 hardware. This might be a classic heavy quotes moment in terms of like PS5 hardware, but this tech demo looked amazing. Unreal Engine 5 is coming to the PS4 and Xbox Series X at the end of 2021.
PS4 or PS5?
PS5. Sorry, I'm just so used to it. PS5 and Xbox Series X in late 2021. And they're promising movie quality graphics and game quality graphics are getting closer and closer to where there shouldn't be that much of a difference between them. Unreal Engine actually powered The Mandalorian, which looked fantastic from everything that I've seen. And that was running Unreal Engine 4, and now they're doing Unreal Engine 5. So they're expecting a big jump in quality through this engine. But let's talk about the video a little bit. Dave, I'm assuming you saw the video. What did you think in terms of how it looked? And
I mean, I think it looked really cool. My wife was watching it with me, and she thought it looked very similar, like very close to real. Some of the stuff that we saw, even on like my TV that was doing like 1080p, so it wasn't like 4K or anything like that. Like the lights moving in the caverns that they were in, how they were moving the light and talking about the pixels and everything like that, that all looked really cool. But my problem, like again, it's not a problem, but the game has to be intriguing enough and grasping my want and desire to play it over it looking cool. Yeah. Like some of my favorite games played weren't necessarily like the most beautiful looking thing. Like when the character walked out and they showed like the draw distance and stuff like that, like that stuff looked really cool. I was more interested in the fact that this character could fly or glide. Yeah. Than I was about what I was seeing. Yeah, it was really cool that they were flying through the air like super fast, and I wasn't seeing like any screen tearing and stuff like that. But I wouldn't expect to see any screen tearing, and a lot the amount of people that are freaking out over this demo of Epic, one of the hugest engine developers in the world, making a 9-minute video look cool.
Yeah,
which is also their way of selling their tech to other companies to make their games on it. Like it's not getting me like all like hot and bothered about I gotta get a PS5 now.
Yeah. For me, it was interesting. Like they made clear that this demo could only run on a PS5, or at least it's only been running on a PS5 because of the capabilities of like the SSD stuff, which I thought was interesting. This was the first thing that I've seen PS5 related that was like, okay, that looks next gen.
But it's not a real game.
No, but that shows you the potential, the like what games could
the potential.
Look like.
In 15 months.
Yeah, but we don't even know. Like, I still don't think the consoles are coming out this year.
No, I know. I don't know if I do either. But yeah. I'm just saying, like, it was cool. Like, and there's a question later that we have on it. But, like, it was cool. But it's, like, that's fascinating to me. But, again, it just feels more like a sales pitch to companies of, like, if you don't know how to make your games on PS5, come to us. We'll help you.
Oh, we
that's
totally,
what I saw. That's what I got from it.
Yeah, so. This totally was probably a demo that we wouldn't have seen if GDC wasn't canceled. This would probably would have been in like Unreal or Epic's like GDC presentation to developers, just because it was very focused on that in terms of like they focused on like how many triangles. It's like billions of triangles versus millions of triangles and showing you how good the textures look. There was a controversial part in it where they talked about like how the PS5 SSD stuff will prevent loading screens and avoid tricks that we've heard about. And then there was a section in the game where characters like walking through a crevice, which in typical... you know, current
was a hidden loading screen.
Yes, it, like it's basic standards now that would be a loading screen, but they assured like, hey, that wasn't a loading screen, we just wanted to show you the detail. But part of me is it's like, you, there's probably a better way for you to show me the detail than to do that shot, which immediately makes me wonder what's going on with it.
I was more impressed when the character jumped off the cliff going towards the portal of how fast that stuff was moving with outcuts, like
yeah,
very similar
popping.
To like God of War, yeah, like in terms of the way that they were, you know, flying and stuff like that. But it's just one of those things where it's like people are like, oh wow, this is it. But can Sony make their game look like that? Probably.
Yeah.
Can other companies make their game look like that if they use Unreal 5? Yeah. And if they have the ability to mask out the properties of the engine and know how to program it and code it correctly. And again, like my thing is, what would this game really look like? And we keep hearing about this later on down the road about during game development of like what the game looks like after you put, let's just say this, that demo turns into a real game and it's the new Tomb Raider or something, like an example like that. And now all of a sudden you're talking about a 12 or 15 hour game on your hard drive doing that. Like, yeah. Can it still do that? I don't know.
Well, one curious thing about it, Paris, who we had on last week, actually brought it up on Twitter, and I was like, damn it, I was going to tweet something similar to that, but I couldn't formulate the words as well as he did, just because he knows hardware words to use more than I do. But he brought up a good point in terms of like what we saw in like that demo is only capable on a PS5, or it was running on a PS5. But the current technology for PS5 and Xbox One hard drives, or the SSD, is in that technology isn't that easily available on PCs, and developers have to develop for the PC because everything's on everything now. Mm-hmm. And that causes
especially in an Unreal Engine game, where if you're going to get Unreal's engine, you're probably not going exclusive to Sony.
Yeah. And specifically what it causes some concern to me, it's like he put up like only Sony developers are going to be able to take advantage of that power fully, because what Cerny was talking about with like the Jack 3 map was how to hide loading screens and to make the world, they would have to make the map like labyrinth and like maze like to hide loading screens. And what the PS5 and Xbox One SSDs should do is erase the need to build maps and worlds like that anymore. But if they're still developing for PCs, which mm-hmm. would be on mechanical hard drives, SSDs of different speeds, you can't actually fundamentally change game design like Cerny promised, unless you were only developing for the PS5.
And more than likely, if a third-party company signs some type of exclusivity deal or decides that they really want to take advantage of Sony's tech, then Sony's going to make them sign a deal with them, which gets them access to it, very similar to what we saw with like Death Stranding.
Yes.
Where when Death Stranding signed the deal, Kojima Productions signed the deal with Sony, they all of a sudden got the help of Guerrilla and got access to Guerrilla's engine. Yeah. But they, you know, unless they signed that deal of where Sony got a humongous chunk of the profits from that, it's just smart business.
Yeah. But unlike the case of Death Stranding, if you sign that exclusivity to use the full power of the SSD, you then can't go 6 months later to the Epic Game Store and put it on PC, because not all the hard drives of people buy it. Like, we're going to have to... I have a feeling eventually PC developers will have to...
God, if I have to have a certain hard drive to play a certain
PC game... That's what I was getting to. They might... I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, but 5 years from now, they might have to have like some sort of cutoff with like, hey, your hard drive just can't play this, because developers can't design two types of games of like, oh, shit.
Right. Yep.
We didn't need elevators anymore. Fuck, we had to put elevators in.
Series X, from our understanding, just has touted faster loading times. They haven't talked about their hard drive technology like Sony has. So again, Watch Dogs Legion is going to have to be able to work on
everything.
Watch Dogs Legion 2, which will be on PS5, Series X, and PC, will still have to develop for the most common denominator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which means fundamental changes to game design can't actually happen,
which means that the only people that are really going to be able to take true advantage of Sony's tech are Sony Studios.
Yes, which now have a new umbrella term and a Marvel opening logo.
Yeah.
So, and that logo will load fast as fuck on the PS5. the question Darren asked, I'm just going to put it in here. Yeah. Is Dave going to buy a PS5 now that he's seen the Unreal demo? Because last week you were saying like you're kind of leaning towards upgrading your PC than buying PS5 and Xbox in a theoretical case. Yeah.
No, that Unreal, that doesn't change me, because that's not a real game.
Yeah.
Like, it's cool. Like, it's great. You know, like, but it's, that's what Fortnite's going to look like.
If that was Uncharted 4, would that have changed your mind?
I think if they actually titled it and started talking about it and have a, like a launch title or like a, something that they're working on, whether it's, you know, a new IP from Naughty Dog or, you know, like a Days Gone 2, like anything like that, like I think it would have kind of sparked my interest. But at this point in time, like, I've seen cool tech demos before that have never turned into anything. I remember being at E3 and seeing David Cage put that old-ass man on the screen and drop a whole bunch of pixels on top of him, and that looked really cool, and that turned into nothing.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for that sorcery game that David Cage showed.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, like, please don't, you know, like, look at, because then all you're setting yourself up. I've learned a lot about this lately, in the last couple of months. Don't set yourself up for something that I call false hope. But that over there looked really cool. You never did that. Like, well, we never really could do that.
Yes. Yeah. I will say this was the best pitch for PS5 that Sony...
To a developer, yeah.
No, just in general, in terms of just like...
That's not going to sell me on the hardware. Like, you got to
show
me a game.
No, 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 I'm not saying it's not going to sell you, but yeah. I'm saying in terms of like what Sony has said themselves... And what this tech demo looked like, this was a better presentation of what the hardware could do than the PowerPoint presentation showing Dead Space 2.
Yeah. Hell, what PS3. Sony did with Ghost of Tsushima was better than anything that we saw at the Xbox event.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and I mean, I'm like, it makes me hopeful for whatever Sony, whenever Sony's ready to take the gloves off or, you know, get up off the chair and get in the boxing match. Like, it makes me very hopeful that their first punch is going to hurt.
Yeah,
you know, it's gonna have an impact, but when are they gonna throw that punch after they've been hit 100 times?
The new date people put on it is June 4th, which is funny because I feel like there's been like 5 or 6 dates that people have set up. I'll be like, this is when Sony's gonna announce it. The new date people are clinging to is June 4th for some reason. So, but that's it for news.
All right. So playing and watching. So I, for like my birthday was last week, and a good friend of mine, Ben, he gave me a code for Wonderful 101 Remastered on Steam. I do not remember. I remember hearing about it, but I had a Wii U, but I never got Wonderful 101. It was on Wii U, right? Not Wii.
Yeah, it was Wii, I believe. Okay. No, Wii U.
So, yeah, it had to have been Wii U. So we're going to get to my first problem with this game. So, digging around in the menus, it wasn't 100% optimized for a controller until you actually found the correct settings in there, mm-hmm. even though it seems like a controller would be the best way to play this. And then I believe the original game used the, this is why I feel like it was on Wii U, it actually used the gamepad as a menu that was always being shown.
Yeah, it was a Wii U game, yeah.
Yeah, and you can bring that menu up, but that menu has like this translucent look to it. I don't know what I'm starting to figure out what to do with that menu, but like I had a hard time with that game. Like I played it live on stream like an hour and a half. I was having fun with it when I was figuring things out, but it just like the controls feel very clunky. And then if I need to bring that menu up on the screen, unless I can figure out a way to take advantage of that with my second monitor, I don't want that thing on my screen.
Yeah.
Like while I'm playing, if you go back and look at the Twitch replay and, or if you have time to upload it to YouTube, like that'd be great. Like I'm still trying to figure out like what to do with it. Yeah. I know you can collect more people and have like a squad of like 100 people, like helping you fight these things. But it just, it seemed like there was something missing there of like, if you're going to remaster this game, like you could have cleaned up a little bit of that. And I know that probably changes the core gameplay foundation of what the game is built around, but I don't have a gamepad in front of me when I'm playing this game. I'm playing it on my PC.
Yeah.
It's just, it seemed like it was very, very clunky. The combat and when stuff works, like I was having a really good time with it. I'm okay if it has a learning curve, like where you have to figure out the combat out and, you know, be able to, you know, take advantage of having, you know, a bigger group of people with you, like 80 people or 100 people or 20 people or whatever it is. Like, that's fine. But it just seemed like there wasn't much there of the tutorial. Like, again, I might have to go back and play the tutorial because it was after I completed the tutorial that I figured out how to change the prompts to they showed it to me as a controller instead of a mouse and keyboard.
Yeah.
So like that might help a little bit, but it just again seemed like some of the stuff that's in the game took advantage of the touchscreen on the gamepad, on the Wii U gamepad, and that can't necessarily be replicated with a controller.
So you hated it?
I wouldn't say that I hated it. It just seemed like it could have used a little bit more polish to make it more playable now,
mm-hmm.
or more playable without a gamepad. Maybe I'm missing something. Like if you're playing it and you're in, I guess I know it came out on Switch too. I don't know if it takes advantage of the Switch touchscreen.
Maybe.
But it just seemed like from my standpoint, like something was missing there. I'm going to check it out again. I'm going to, you know, maybe do a little bit more research on it because it looks really cool. Like the animations and it seemed to have some really good writing. It's funny, like when people die, they get like busted out of their clothing. It's a platinum game. It's like, which is awesome looking.
Yeah.
Platinum Games game, and it bright and colorful and whimsical. Those are the things that I'm looking for in a game right now. But if it doesn't control well and I don't feel like I'm progressing forward enough, I was like, okay, I'm ready to stop playing right now. I completed this objective. I'm ready to stop. So
yeah, fair enough.
I dabbled a little bit more in Destiny 2. I've pretty much kind of decided that I'm going to primarily, like 90% of my time is going to be on PC now, because the game just runs that much better. So if you're on PC and you want to play the game with me, please just friend me. Send me a friend request. I can put my Steam code on my Twitter description. I can any of that stuff, because like I'm still learning that stuff with Steam and friend codes. And people criticize Nintendo's system for friends for a little bit. Steam seems just as bad.
No, it isn't. It's really easy.
Steam has a friend code, though. Like, if you
could just type their name in, too.
Yeah, but you and I could have the same Steam name.
Yeah, typically, but just have a good Steam name.
No, I know. I don't think anybody has good Dave Hunting, yeah. So it's fine. But yeah, you can add that way. But presuming that the profile is good, it's still things that I'm learning of trying to figure it all out.
Someone sent me a Rockstar friend invite, and I was very confused. I'm like, I don't remember having a Rockstar account, but all right.
Yeah, so and I've been seeing more of that stuff, and I've been paying more attention to that, like Epic Games. The Epic Game Store was just giving away GTA 5 for free.
Yeah, to Wednesday.
But by the time they listen to this, unless you're a Patreon guy, you probably missed out. So like all that stuff, like those things are fine. Bungie's having a big problem with this season right now. They just released another quest that they miscalculated. They wanted you to complete 9 million public events as a community. They released another community quest. It was full of bugs to where they had to put a multiplier on it to get people to do it. And then they put the multiplier on it. They got through the first step like yesterday. And then there's another step in the quest that's broken today. Like this season is being called like season of half baked. And the crazy part is the way that I play Destiny and the way that I function and when I play Destiny, I know how to optimize the game correctly for myself, my playtime, that even half-ass trying, barely playing Destiny compared to how I've been playing it before. I looked the other day and I'm ranked 90 out of 100 this season. And I'm like, how did I do that? And it's just because when I go, I make sure that I get the things that I need to, I pay attention to what I'm looking at, and I complete my objectives. And you know, they've been releasing all this stuff the last couple of weeks, and they're doing their same roller coaster ride that they've been doing. And in September, they'll be at the peak and everybody will be talking about them. And they're using this lull time to say, hey, this is the stuff that we're working on. Like, they need to figure out a way to continue to get this and keep this playing field going on a good, consistent plane year round. Otherwise, you're going to have this, I love Destiny, I hate Destiny, this game can go screw itself, this is the greatest thing ever. And I'm never going to get to that point. Like, this game, Destiny changed my life, and in terms of how I cover video games and how I play video games. So it has a personal stake in my gaming culture, and that's never going to change. But I find myself not as engaged in the content as I used to be, not worrying about, like, I put something on Twitter before with Paris, like, I miss my fire team more because I miss playing the game with my friends. And a lot of my friends that I played a lot of Destiny 1 with and Destiny 2 with early on at launch have either moved on or don't enjoy it as much. And we would even in Destiny's lull time, we'd still be on. We'd do a little bit of Destiny. We'd play Division 1, or we'd play, you know, Battlefield, or we'd play these other games. And I miss that core aspect of the foundation that Destiny built. And now that they've actually crumbled their own foundation by some of the decisions they've made.
What are your friends playing, or are they just all scattered out?
They're all scattered.
Yeah, because so. You basically like took my Killzone friends. Like, when Killzone died, uh-huh. Destiny came over. So I don't even know what they're all playing at this point.
Yeah, I mean, like, so like Johnny is a boy. He's not really playing Destiny 2 anymore. He's like super into Apex, and he's been playing Streets of Rage 4. Like, I've watched him beat his head against the wall trying to. You get some trophy in Streets of Rage 4 for beating the game on Arcade 1 CC, like in one with one life or something, or no continues. So I've seen him go through a lot of that stuff. Like Wyatt, who's also a good friend of mine that I've been playing Destiny 2 with a ton. Like, he pretty much went over to Warframe on PC. And that's all justified. Like, I'm totally fine with playing other games. I just miss the camaraderie that we had of, like, playing Destiny once or twice a week and finding out what everybody else is playing. And that's what I miss the most. And I'm hoping that, you know, I know it's probably part of my own fault that I've been playing on PC more than I've been playing on PS4. But it just runs so much better.
Yeah, I heard those load screens.
And it looks so much better. Yeah, it's just the stuff that and the loading times and the copying of Destiny. Like, we know that PSN already has a problem in general. Destiny just exasperates that issue more and more and more when it has to copy, which is essentially re-downloading the whole game. And they're updating this game like every 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah,
like if you play Call of Duty Modern Warfare and you play Destiny, your PlayStation 4 stock hard drive is full. And you have to update something like every 3 days. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, and I just hope, like, this the end season that they're doing, and the there's a new season coming out in June that I'm sure that they're going to talk about, and they're trying to fix all this stuff, and they're trying to tell the people, hey, we're listening, we're working on it. Like, you've done this song and dance before. Like, Paris and I talked about it. Like, we know in September it's going to be fine and it's going to be fun, but you got to figure out a way to keep the player base engaged. And it's not just Destiny, it's Division, it's all these games. Like, if you're going to provide a seasonal menu and a seasonal content, whether it's Apex or Battlefront 2 or Division 2 or Destiny 2 or whatever it's going to be, like, you've got to figure out a way to keep these players engaged. Otherwise, you're just going to might as well just give up and just release annual updates to your game. Like, be on Destiny 6 at this point in time.
Like, yeah.
So we've been watching more movies lately. I've been watching movies as a family, which is part of the reason I haven't been streaming and playing video games as much, because everybody's home. All five of us are home. And I found out that my daughter really hasn't seen a lot of movies, even just core movies that, you know, she never saw American Pie. She's 17, so it's good that she hasn't seen American Pie yet. But I've been getting more of a kick out of watching movies with my daughter for more of watching how she reacts than I am of watching the movie myself.
Yeah.
So we've watched like American Pie 1 and American Pie 2. We watched Hitch the other day with Will Smith. Mm-hmm. And it's more or less like, yeah, I mean, but there's funny moments in that movie I just want to see how she
Hitch
reacts.
I like Hitch. Yeah. I was more making a face to American Pie because that's a problematic movie. I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. It's a very problematic movie.
But watching a 17-year-old teenager watch it is hilarious.
Yeah.
So, you know, like in terms of like when you know what to expect. And then I decided, I don't know why, but the other day I decided to give Star Wars Episode 1 another go. It had been years since I watched it. So I wanted to watch it because I'm going to watch 2 and 3 as well, because I know how, you know, 4, 5 and 6 are going. And we watched Rise of Skywalker the other day again when it was on Disney Plus, because it's on Disney Plus now, just to see it. I don't think my son had seen it at that point in time. So my daughter's been trying to make the most out of the situation, and she tries to watch like a family. We try to watch a movie as a family like every other day or every third day. Mm-hmm. And then I watched episode 9 and 10 of The Last Dance on Sunday night. It didn't end as well as I was hoping it would. But it was still good in general. Like, There's some stuff that I think that was left out. It was obviously like a very heavily biased, positive Michael Jordan documentary.
Yeah.
So there's definitely some other things in there. I would love to have like seen a little bit more interview from Horace Grant about like his departure from the Bulls. I would have loved to see a little bit more of that, you know, like it would have been fascinating to truly see what like Pippen would have said I wish they would have asked him, like, would you have signed a 1-year deal?
Because Jordan answered for him. And
yeah,
just like
Pippen didn't answer. Rodman didn't answer, you know, would like, cause he, like Jordan pretty much said like, well, I know Steve Kerr would have taken a pay cut. I'm like, no, you don't.
Yeah. He's, like, well, I think Kerr probably would have, cause Kerr knows his value, but they said like Jerry Krause is like, Kerr's value is up after this finals. Cause he had a fucking great finals or a great playoff run. Rodman probably would have, though I don't know if the Bulls would have wanted to work with Rodman, especially after
that was crazy too.
I forgot.
I knew that because didn't him and Malone wrestle in
that
the WCW?
That was what they were building up for, I believe. After the finals, then Malone joined because Malone didn't fuck around with them during the finals. But after the finals were done, Malone fought in a tag team match It was Malone and Diamond Dallas Page.
Yeah.
Versus Hogan and Rodzilla. And
yeah,
it was a horrible match. But.
It was actually more funny to me that I didn't realize that that Rodman's appearance on WCW was in Auburn Hills, which is only like 45 minutes from where I live.
Yeah.
But I also didn't know at the time that that was like after game three. Like,
yeah. But like, you can imagine after game three, where they completely embarrassed the Jazz, Rodman probably felt good enough, like, oh, fuck this. I can skip practice.
Yeah. It was just interesting. Like, and they put it well. Like, I don't know if it was post talk about the, like, I was watching like Sports Center with Scott Van Pelt. He brought up a really good point, or it was Andrea Kramer that said it at the end of the documentary. I don't remember who said it. I'm sorry. But that Jordan built that brand and that ability of who he was, that everybody knew who he was, even if you weren't a basketball fan, without social media.
Oh, with social media, probably is like intolerable as like LeBron and other athletes doing social media. I think he benefited.
Like, did you see what he said to Larry Bird after that? Like when Larry Bird was the coach and they spent the time talking about the Pacers, and he's like, you almost had me. Like, making me work that hard, you little bitch.
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah.
It was just so funny. I was just like, because like obviously like he had played with Bird like 6 years ago on the Dream Team, and you know they'd done those years ago they did those McDonald's commercials together, so they obviously got along. But they, you know, it was just, but just finding out that people are like, if you play basketball, you really wouldn't like to be Michael Jordan's teammate, but everybody wanted to be his teammate because he would do everything he could to win.
Yeah. And if he saw you weren't pushing it, he would push you.
Yeah. So it was really cool. I liked it. I've got my. They've been doing some of the advertising. I think the Lance Armstrong documentary is going to be fascinating. The rise and fall of Lance Armstrong, because he was like on the level of Tiger Woods and Michael Jordan when he was competing in the Tour de France, in terms of like people knew who a bike rider was. Everybody had those little Livestrong bracelets on their wrist at one point in time. So getting some more ins and outs into that. And then again, like I mentioned before, like I cannot wait. And you being a Chicago guy, like I cannot wait to see this thing on Sosa McGuire.
Yeah, that's should be good. Yeah, I'm a Sox fan, but even I was fascinated by that, especially if they get into the steroid stuff, which they should, and they probably will. Yeah. Should be fascinating. The only thing about The Last Dance that disappointed me was I almost feel this needed another like half hour to talk about the aftermath. There was really cool stuff where they talked about it, like Jordan wrote a poem and like Phil Jackson made them all burn something as like their final thing together, which I wish the camera was there for that.
Yep.
But I kind of wanted more of just like, they kind of took the Scorsese route of at the end of it, just black screen, white text here. This player is traded. This player is traded. This player is released. I wish there was just a little bit more from the players of just like Kerr wasn't released right away. He played like a half season or a season on the shitty team. Kukoc did as well. I want to know what they were like the aftermath of like Pippen's gone, Rodman's gone, Jordan's gone. And then it's like Kerr and Kukoc and like two other players still on the Bulls. Why Pippen is in Houston or Portland?
Yeah, Houston first. They said at the end, like, and the Bulls started to rebuild, and the Bulls are still rebuilding.
Yeah. But then they gloss over the fact that, like, they actually did rebuild the team fully, except Derrick Rose couldn't, stay healthy. So, like, I don't know. There's so much more they could have done, but of course, with anything, there's always more they could have done. I hope they release this on Blu-ray, and there's, like, a whole
extended version or something.
Yeah, like I want the Lord of the Rings cut of this if it's out there. But yeah, it was great. Anything else?
No, that's it for playing and watching right now. So,
all right. For me, it's just a couple games. The first game is a game that I've actually had for a couple weeks. It's a game that's currently in early access, Title Shock. Dave also has a code. We got to try and range a game session.
It doesn't seem like the stuff I've seen from you that it looks like something that I'm really intrigued to go after.
I'll explain why I need you later. But this is an underwater 8-player competitive shooter. It's an early access on PC. I believe it's coming to console in the future. Art style is like kind of reminiscent of Fortnite with like outlandish kind of characters, because it's underwater. You have people like wearing like shark heads and like duck heads and wearing like flotation devices underwater. It's kind of funny looking the way it is, but for some reason it reminds me of Fortnite. But it's a competitive shooter where the goal, at least in a free-for-all mode, is to gather 100 cells and score the 100 cells, like bank them into a moving target. Target's constantly moving either every like 30 seconds or whenever it hits a certain amount of points that were banked into it by all the different players. And that's like the main goal. The gunplay is solid. It's underwater, so it moves a little bit slower. It doesn't move like a traditional shooter, but it still feels good. Everyone loads into the game with a pistol, and there's different weapons that are like color-coded based on like how strong or rare they are, which really helps that they're color-coded because the map is like really big, and it makes it very easy to spot a gun from far, and then you can go through that like, you know, math or logic in your head of like, okay, I can swim over there, get that gun, hopefully no one sees me while I'm holding like my shitty pistol, and I can get that gun and then kill whoever I need to kill. Mm-hmm. You do have like a cooldown for like a rocket that can do a heavy amount of damage. You can also use that rocket to move into water faster. Otherwise you're just swimming around and you have like a little tiny boost thruster, but it's not as powerful and it doesn't send you that far like the rocket that you have. That I think you have like three at a time, but there's a cooldown on them. So the maps are really big because it's underwater. It's very vertical. Like there's different layers to it. So you're moving around this map and you're just constantly doing the risk and reward of, do I want to collect as many cells as possible? Do I want to get more into combat? Because you can, you know, just keep getting like whatever cells you can and then score them, or you can hold up to 50 cells and then bank them all at one time, depending on how you want to take it. Though, because the goal is always moving, you can end up not hitting the goal fast enough, and then it respawns to another side of the map, and then you have to go swim back. So you have to like think about how you exactly want to play it, because there's been a couple matches where I really didn't have anyone, I didn't really fight anyone, because I was just focusing on the cells, and when I would see gunplay, I would just swim away. While people are shooting each other, I'm just banking as many points as possible. So this game is in early access. I think it's like under $10. I don't have the exact price of it on me. I can probably Google that. But because it's in early access, there doesn't seem to be a lot of people playing the game. Like, it's taken a while to get an eight-person lobby filled, which is a little scary, which is why I need Dave to, like, get on with me, just so we can fill up a match a little bit faster. The developers are aware of this, and they've done a good job. On the main menu, there's, like, a ticker that links to their Discord, and they're like, hey, you can always find a full game. You know, if you go to Discord, you can always find people on there. And also, here are the times that we have the peak amount of traffic, which is good. The only problem is the peak traffic times are like in the middle of the early afternoon, late afternoon, which doesn't work for me because my computer is being used for a work from home computer during those times. So I've been playing like 1 or 2 hours after their recommended time to play, which there's still people on, but it just takes a while to find a game. It has been getting better over the last couple weeks. The first time I played it, like 2-3 weeks ago, I think I waited like a half hour and fucking no one popped up onto the game.
Jeez. Have you joined the Discord though?
I haven't joined a Discord, but I don't use Discord as much, and I'm looking at my Discord right now. I'm already in like 6 or 7 servers, and it's just like, I'm not going to do that. But when I do play during their peak times, I'm finding a match like within a couple minutes. It's still taking a couple minutes during their peak times, which is a shame. But it is getting better. So when I have played outside of their peak time, I'm only waiting like 5 minutes, but that's still kind of a drag. I'm hoping it's just because it's early access, and as they add more features to the game, more people will come. Or when it comes to consoles, more people will play, because the game is fun. I'm having fun when I do play the game. Like, the gunplay is fun enough, and the game mode, I like the idea of like, I can focus on shooting, or I could just try and score goals. And the matches don't last too long, like maybe 10 minutes or less per match, which I always appreciate for shooters. It just, the only downfall is right now, you know, there's not a lot of people playing. So that downtime between the 10-minute matches is kind of bad.
I mean, that's the backbone of a multiplayer game. And if there's just not enough people there, then it just dies.
Yep. So I'm hoping this one lasts a little bit longer. It's going to be one of those games where I check in on every once in a while until it has a full release. But it's a little worrisome. Like, 8 players doesn't seem like a lot. So I'm hoping more people go to it, especially because it's like a relatively like cheap price game.
Yeah.
The other game I've been playing, I bought it on a sale on Green Man Gaming, is XCOM Chimera Squad. So this is a spinoff of the in the XCOM universe. It's kind of a bite-sized version of the XCOM games. Dave, if you're not familiar, they're like tactical turn-based games.
I know what an XCOM game is.
I'm just making sure, Dave. Okay, if the listeners don't know what that is, it's a tactical turn-based games. This is, I believe, only on PC, but it's a smaller version of the XCOM games. XCOM games typically are about like a global pandemic of, you know, like Earth versus aliens. This is that same sort of story, but it's more focused on like one city in particular. So you have everything that you would have in a normal full-size XCOM game of, you know, you have agents that you need to recruit and build up, and then you go out there, take these missions, and then, you know, hopefully you get enough evidence from it, like you stun some people instead of kill them, you take them back, interrogate them, get more information for the story. But there's also like 3 factions in the game that you can investigate at a time, and that'll give you different missions based on those factions to build that part of the story up. And there's a new feature to the XCOM games in this. It's called Breach Mode. So before or every mission starts with you placing your agents at different positions in like a building for them to breach the doors. And when you breach the doors, you know, they break through windows, they break through the door or whatever they have to do, jump through the roof. And then it puts you down in like a slow-mo mode and gives you a turn for each character to where you get the first shot. So there's an element of strategy in terms of like what characters do you want to position, because they all have different abilities. And also picking the best spot to get the most damage out of the first breach or out of your first attack during the breach, to set you up better later on. Because you could do a lot of damage in breach mode in terms of taking out people strategically, that this makes you the rest of the level play so much easier. So I'm playing that. I'm only a couple hours in, but I'm enjoying it. The reason I picked it up, it was on sale. I think it's only like a $15, $20 game, but it was on sale for like $10. And I heard it was shorter, and I can use short games right now. Just because playing super long games just hasn't been my thing lately. So I'll probably keep up with that and then probably finish it probably like by playing just like 3 hours a week. So since I'm basically doing nothing during the day while Sarah's working from home, I've made it my goal to get a platinum in Burnout. Because I believe I have the platinum in PS3, but I don't have it in Burnout Paradise Remastered. So I've just been making it my goal to get all those trophies in that game during the day, because I just have really nothing to do, really. You know, like, there's only so much cleaning I can do during the day. And it's good to just have some sort of goal gaming-wise to take care of. So I'm just working on that. I might need the community's help, because I have, like, the online trophies coming up soon.
Yeah, like the bike trophy and stuff. And
yeah, like the one where you need 8 players to
go to. Let me know. I have it too.
Yeah, so. I might need to do that, because I've popped online every once in a while, but like you get on mic with strangers like, hey, can everyone drive to here? And most of the time they just say a racial slur back, which isn't great, but it's the internet.
Yeah, we should be able to take care of that though for you.
So I might work on that once I'm down to that point where those are my only trophies left. Saturday I was kind of, bored, and I had just talked to one of my friends that I haven't seen in months because of the stay at home order. And we just decided, like, hey, let's just all buy Uno. So me and a couple friends played Uno online. And this is basically my core group of friends that I would hang out with, you know, like every week or so, or every couple weeks. And now we're just playing Uno online because the collector or the ultimate edition was like $8, $9. So pick that up. It's Uno. It's fun. Just a bullshit for, I think we ended up playing for like 3 hours the first night. Those games.
You can play that locally too, right?
Yeah, so you can play locally with controller. They have an app, like a PlayLink app for it, so yeah. You can use your phone to hide your cards, obviously, because it's, you know, it's a card game. The app kind of sucks, but it works when it works. We had a couple times where we had to like quit the game because the app didn't sync right, but we can get the app to work eventually. The only thing that sucks is you can't put the, if you have two people on a couch using the app, they can't go online and compete against other people online.
Oh, okay.
Which sucks.
Yeah, but that does kind of suck.
Yeah. But it's just something I tell my friends just to pick up, and then we'll just play it anytime we're bored. Because I've been trying to keep up with all my friends that I would normally see in like Facebook Messenger groups. But this is at least something else to do, because I'm really bad at looking at Facebook Messenger groups sometimes. Like, sometimes I'll open the app.
So you're saying, like, even, like, two people at home can't be playing against two people at another home, right?
I think so. I would have to try that a little more. But my friend was having problems where he tried to get two phones to connect to the internet to play with us. And, like, it would connect, but then one person wouldn't have control. So I don't know if the app was to shit. And mm-hmm. It is something possible, but just...
Because I thought about getting, like, Monopoly, too, and, like, just trying to play Monopoly against people, like, online. Like, I think that'd be fun.
Yeah. I kind of recommend it, especially if you have, like, a core group that you just want to have a game night with. It helps. Just because I haven't seen my friends in a while, so it's something to do. And we all have different tastes in games. Like, right now, they're playing Borderlands 3, and I don't care about Borderlands, so... Mm-hmm. Like, Uno was, like, a cheap way to, like, hey, guys, everyone just pick up Uno. Everyone knows how to play.
Right.
So, doing that. I did stream some more Bully on the Twitch channel. I think I did, like, twice last week. I think the game says I'm, like, 50% of the way through percent-wise, but I actually think I'm on the last final two chapters or so. So, I'm still enjoying that. First time I've ever played Bully. It's fun. Some of the humor doesn't hold up, but... this because we live in a different time, kind of like the American Pie problem.
Yeah.
Of this, like, things have changed to where some of these jokes just don't hit the same way anymore. And then I streamed some Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 on Twitch, but I have to figure out what's going on with my streaming issues right now, because my Tony Hawk stream stopped and started like 5 times during it. So now there's like 5 Tony Hawk streams in our past broadcast, all varying from 5 minutes to 30 minutes. I think I fixed the issue, but I don't quite know what it is. I lowered my bit rate because I was going to maximum bit rate, and I was just like, okay. I basically looked up. I'm like, okay, so I can stream Bully from my PS4 without a problem, but Twitch...
What bit rate did you have it set at?
6,000, which is the max.
My streams look good to you, right?
Yeah, and no, and it's...
You're about 1,900 higher than I stream at.
Yeah, so that's what I ended up doing, is, like, I looked at, like, the Bully streams, and I'm like, that doesn't look terrible, and I was like, what does a PS4 bitrate at? And a PS4 bitrate is at, like, 1,200 max for best quality. So I knocked my bitrate to 4,500, I tuned up my computer, and I'm just like, let me just see if this stops, because I never got... drop frame issues anytime I streamed until the last like 2 weeks, and then it's just become a real problem. So I hopefully fixed it. When we're done doing this live recording, I might in an hour or two like pop back on with more Tony Hawk just to see.
You should try what I've had success with. There's two things that you can do, and if anybody else streams, like, this helps you as well. If you use OBS, which I know you don't because you're weird,
I use Streamlabs, which is the better version, and it's still technically OBS.
Yeah, I know. I'm just messing with you. At least on core OBS, they actually have a setup wizard where it actually like tests your internet connection and gives you a recommended setting.
Mm-hmm.
And that you can tell it what type of thing you want to look at, because contrary to popular belief or what anybody tells you, it's all cool and dandy that all these companies are putting all this stuff in 4K, but ain't nobody watching it in 4K.
Yeah, so. And that's what I broke down to, where like I can see our stream, our like our analytics kind of goes into some of that, and I'm just like, oh, most people are watching on their phone.
Yep.
So doesn't matter.
And then just just using the setup wizard to help with that, and then just figuring out there's also a way you can just I can send it to you, but there's a way you can actually run like a test without being live, and you can actually watch your bitrate move. It simulates you being live. I did it when I upgraded my internet just to see like what kind of bitrate I could push.
Is that Twitch Inspector or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you can actually like you can watch the line and stuff like that. So hopefully a lot of people have noticed since I've streamed over the last month that especially like for whatever reason the podcast, if you ever watch it on Twitch, like we were struggling. I'd get a lot of red lights on OBS, and we don't drop frames now on the stream since my upload is like in the 30s now.
So. Yeah. I think I figured it out, and I'm hoping cutting my bitrate down should help. And
yeah, you're running a 12 volt engine on a residential street for no reason.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's just like it wasn't a problem until it started to become an issue, and I don't know.
Yeah, I don't even think Twitch recognizes that high of a bitrate.
No, that is the maximum they accept, and that's why okay. Streamlabs defaults to it. But the only problem is my internet. I guess especially since the work at home stuff has happened, my internet's just been all over the place.
Yeah,
because I think
it's more about consistency of the quality. It's not about like being the quality being maxed. It's more about being able to. It's like, do you want a game that can go up to 100 frames but down to 30 frames, or do you want a game that's locked at 60 frames? Like,
yeah, and that's why I'm like, okay, let me just lower my bitrate, because I looked at the math and I'm like, okay, I'm dropping like 15% to 30%. I'm like, well,
that's
let me
a
just,
lot.
Yeah, where it's just like, okay.
I get pissed off and I drop 1% of my frames.
Like, and it was super inconsistent to where I was just like trying to figure it out. And I'm just like, okay, let me just do a full tune-up of my computer, and then let me move my modem a little bit to where it's not being blocked by so many walls because my Wi-Fi router. And then I just dropped the bitrate. So I like took care of every possibility. So if I'm still having issues.
And dropped the bitrate.
Yeah. Hopefully it'll be fine. And I'm only going to do a late night stream for it, just so I'm not like, I don't want people watching as I fuck around with things.
Dude, I think my daughter has accidentally opened OBS when she's getting ready to go on a Zoom call. And if you ever get a notification that Twitch is live at like 10 o'clock in the morning,
I have gotten that a couple times. Yeah,
it ain't us. Because none of us are awake and streaming video games at that time.
Yeah.
Either if I'm awake, I'm at work.
Yeah, and I just can't use my computer that early.
Yeah. So, all right. Let's hit. Are you done with playing and watching? I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. The only thing left is I finished the Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix book. Probably my third favorite Harry Potter book now. The movie wasn't terrible, which is, I guess, a compliment compared to how some of the other movies were. It's definitely got me super excited for Harry Potter content that I ended up buying the Lego Harry Potter collection, because it was on sale for $6 and it is a co-op game. So I ended up buying that, and I can't play it because I didn't finish the last book yet and I don't want to be spoiled. So Lego. And now I'm like one third of the way through the last Harry Potter book. So quarantine's been nice to at least catch up on Harry Potter.
Awesome. All right, we're going to speed run a couple of these questions, and you need to read the first one because you're the one that has to answer it, and I want to hear you say these words.
Oh, yeah. All right. Hello, Mr. Swickety and Dave. I can't think of a nickname as good as Swickety for Dave. I mean, Davey might be okay. Not sure if you guys said anything about this previously, but can you tell us about the theme song for the podcast? Where did you find the artist? Is it part of a longer song that is available elsewhere? Was it made specifically for the podcast?
Okay, so wait, before you answer, because I'm going to let you do the formal answer, but I find it fascinating that we've actually had a couple questions about this. And again, before, like, and you're going to give the correct answer, but this was literally going to be a placeholder until we could figure something not better out, but figure something out that would be more permanent. And now I feel like it's just become the thing.
Yeah, it's definitely become that. Okay, so the artist is named Popsky. I found him because he actually is very prolific in terms of creating music that is used for streamers. He actually makes his music available. You can check his Twitter account to verify this, or I think his Bandcamp account, which we have a link to his Bandcamp account in our show notes every week. So whatever.
It's at the bottom. Yeah, next to theme song.
Yeah. So the artist's name is Popsky. It's with, I think, two Y's at the end of it. And he makes his music available to use freely on streams for people. And just he just basically says, if you buy his music legally, you can then use songs to use it as theme songs and use it to as filler music for streams. I actually reached out to him on Twitter, which you can find the tweet. It's like publicly available because I'm stupid, don't do DMs. And I was like, hey, can I use this as a theme? And he was just like, yeah, go for it. And I was like, okay, perfect. And I liked this song. It's called Deja Vu. So you can find it on Spotify and you can find it on YouTube and Bandcamp. And his like the... He has like a ultimate compilation where it's one of those Bandcamp artists that have you name your own price and you can get a ton of songs and they're all fantastic from him for like a really reasonable price. So highly recommend checking out Popsky.
Yeah, I mean, we've gotten a lot of positive feedback or people talking about that they're humming the theme song, which is like an ultimate dream that you'd have. And again, this was like Michael was saying, hey, I found this. The guy said we can use it. Let's use this until we can, you know, pay somebody or find something to do this. And I'm at the point right now where I would love to eventually in a few more months, maybe reach out to him and have him do something specifically for us, possibly.
Yeah, yeah. He opens up commissions every once in a while, and I've been meaning to hit him up about that.
Because thanks to a lot of support from you guys that we might be able to purchase our own thing, which I think will be really cool.
Yeah.
So, all right. Michael, apart from this comes from Todd. Michael, apart from WWE and AEW, do you watch any other wrestling promotions?
During COVID? No. Because there's not much happening. I used to watch New Japan Pro Wrestling a lot, but most of the people in New Japan left for AEW, so I don't really watch New Japan as much, though they still have like Will Ospreay and a couple other people. So it's mostly WWE and AEW. Shikara's pretty good. I don't know if they're still doing live events anymore. There is a Shikara video game on Steam that's supposed to be pretty like cool for like a low budget wrestling game. But for the most part, it's WWE, AEW, a little Evolve here and there because they run local events every once in a while. But it's mainly WWE and AEW until New Japan Pro Wrestling is allowed to have events again.
Yeah. All right. Our last question of the night is from Saeed. So Saeed writes, I'm recently watching Titan Season 1 on Netflix. I find it interesting. What do you guys think of the DC series that were shown and still going on? I really find them more interesting and more fun to watch than the DC movies, except Shazam. He thought that was funny and good. So this is something that I really want to go back and check out myself. I'm afraid that I need to go back farther and rewatch some stuff so that my memory is fresh. But I was really into Arrow and Flash and Supergirl and those CW shows. My wife and I were actually super into those for a while. And then I don't know why we just fell off, but they were definitely more interesting than the Justice League movie.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there. Like the DC movies, I still haven't even seen Shazam just because I almost feel like there's no point for me to watch Shazam because it's like part of a universe that I don't think is ever going to continue.
Yeah.
And I really was into Flash, not so much the other shows, but then it just got too big and expansive that I just couldn't keep up with it and it kind of fell.
Too much stuff with the timeline and stuff like that. It was getting kind of confusing.
I do want to see Teen Titans or Titans that he mentioned, but I have to wait for HBO Max to be here because it's not on US Netflix. It's only on DC Universe in the US. So I'd be interested to see that. I do want to see the new Harley Quinn movie. I still haven't seen it. Though I think the rental price is finally down to reasonable, like $5, which means I might actually pull the trigger on that. But yeah, I prefer the shows over the movies, even though I have been very bad at keeping up with the shows.
Mm-hmm. All right, those are our questions for this week. You can send us questions using hashtag AskDigitalDays. You can post them in the Facebook group on the pinned thread at the top. Please join the Facebook group and involved in the conversations. Join the Discord. All those links should be in the descriptions, the show notes descriptions. Please feel free to join any of those and hang out. just add to the conversation, join the community, and just involve yourself, ask questions. People, they're friendly. They won't bite your head off. They want to find other people to play games with, especially if you're on different platforms as well. I would love to try to grow our community of different platforms. Obviously, we have a PlayStation Foundation, but Michael and I are definitely playing on PC a lot more. And, you know, even with some of the Xbox stuff, that just because it's on Xbox Game Pass on PC doesn't mean it doesn't support crossplay. So please don't be afraid that it's, since you don't have a PlayStation, that you don't think that you have a place here. We will diligently try to find you a place or help find a place for you. But I need you to join and tell me so that I know you exist.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess that would be mostly the spotlight, is just the community, again, is getting you guys involved, discussions, trying to figure out what works and what doesn't work for everybody. If there's some changes that we need to make, or if you have a suggestion of things that you want us to do, I would love to hear it. Michael, whether you reach out to Michael or to myself, like, we listen, we adamantly look for reviews, and we're looking at stuff, and we're checking our Twitter constantly and checking the main Twitters constantly to look for feedback and things to help make us better. So if you see something, an article that you want us to talk about, just send it to us and we'll look at it. We're always looking for content. We're always thinking about bonus things that we can do. I probably, if I get off my lazy butt, will do my own Destiny rant episode, where if you don't like Destiny, you don't have to listen to it, and if you do like it, I'm gonna go crazy. again, socials, all the socials, media stuff is going to be in the description. Just check that stuff out, leave us a review, and we have a Patreon, patreon.com/digitaldaysgaming. The support that you guys have given us over the last couple of months has been overwhelming and amazing. We have a bonus episode for the month of May. We're going to be recording a bonus episode for the month of June, and then we'll have some other ideas for July. So if those are episodes that you want to check out, just go ahead and subscribe to the $7 tier. Subscribing to the $7 tier gives you all the below tiers as well. So you get early access. You get access to you get the $5 early access, getting the podcast 24 hours early. You get the $3 access, that the same to Discord, private Discord channel that the Twitch subscribers and the $3 tier people get. And then you're also in the $1 tier, which is just a virtual tip jar, which is a thank you. And being a $7 supporter gets you all those things and an extra episode of DDG every month. Not focused on gaming, just focused on a specific topic that Michael and I are looking at, or something that we would love for you guys to tell us what you want the topic to be, because that would be the end goal for that tier, is what you guys want to see us talk about and hear us talk about for an hour, 45 minutes, an hour and 20 minutes, however long it ends up being. But we need, you know, we have tremendous support from that, but we still need feedback on what you guys would like to see those episodes be, so it makes it easier for us to record them. Those episodes may or may not eventually down the road, 60 days out, 90 days out, show up in the regular feed on a week that, you know, God forbid, if I ever get to go on vacation and see other human beings.
Yeah.
But that's our show. Do you have anything else, Michael? Anything to look forward to next week? Or?
Nothing really. I'm just going to continue playing the games that I got. I mean, I got my Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 in the mail today, so probably some Tony Hawk streams coming real soon. And then just the bonus episodes. I think me and Dave already have an idea for the next episode. We might get into how we got into podcasting and why we decided to do this to ourselves. So look forward to that on Patreon.
Yeah, it's definitely, the bonus episode will definitely give you guys a little bit more like what I call like inside baseball or behind the curtains on kind of how we function, how we think, and how we work. I know a lot of you guys know a lot of our position on video games and stuff like that, but just finding out like a little bit, like the previous one was a little bit of retail backstory for both of us, and
then I talked about some extra stuff as well. Some high school running a social media site for PlayStation.
How we got into the industry a little bit, some E3 stories. Like, we've got plenty of ideas, but you know, eventually those are going to run out. So yeah. But any support, again, please do not feel obligated to support us on Patreon. If you can, we would love it. If you cannot, please continue just to review the show if you can and share the show to other people, just exposing and growing the show. We've somewhat hit a little bit of a plateau, but I'm not too freaked out about it because of like whatever's going on in the world right now. People aren't getting in their car and leaving as much as they used to be, so like it's not one of the things. But if you can, if you have a friend that's talking about trying to have some kind of normalcy or maybe something new to brighten their day, like maybe just recommend DDD DDG to them, and you know, maybe we'll get a new listener. I know we're looking at some more guests, and I don't want to flood the feed with guests, but at the same time, like, this is the time that a lot of people are home and they have the time to do it.
So. Yeah, old man Laneford is like asking people on Twitter. He's bored, so maybe we'll
get old
man.
He's got two more
Laneford.
Weeks to wait. Every 16 weeks.
Yeah.
It's part of our contract.
Yeah.
Non-compete clause. Never mind. All right. I hope everyone has a great week. Keep moving forward and stay safe. Talk to you later.
See ya.